From technology to cars to movies to sports and many more, we present a brand new refreshing podcast, Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. This young man will be your Google Maps to help you navigate the future. Enjoy this bi-weekly podcast, Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra.
Welcome back to another episode of Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. Today's going to be a heat-packed episode, literally. Today I'll be talking about the origin of summer break, what the term summer slide means, and we have a special guest interview. We're topping our podcast with a quiz at the end, and you guessed it, right, listeners? There's a special prize, a Google Home Mini. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. So we all know about summer break and how awesome it is. But where did it all start? Why do kids get a 2 to 3 month break in the middle of the year? So it all started before the Civil War. At this time, most of the nation was full of farmers, and they started taking their kids away from school to help them with their farming work. This led to attendance going way down. After this attendance plunge happened for a while, the government finally established summer break. Sounds like a noble reason. Did you actually believe that? Well, if you did, I'm sorry, that's just a myth. The origin of summer vacation in the US had a lot to do with the rising middle and upper class in American society. During the summer period, most wealthy and affluent families took all excuses to escape the hot and harsh summer weather with their kids to the cool countryside. This affected school attendance and learning progress, since school attendance wasn't mandatory at the time. As this continued, legislators and labor union advocates argued for counterbalancing a more regulated summer holiday break for school kids. They were all agreed that the idea of year-round learning was not ideal, since kids' brains needed a break. As time went by, summer holiday became a norm and fully instituted, with various districts cutting out about 40 to 60 days off the school year calendar to accommodate this newly conceived summer break. Gradually, summer holidays became this sort of business for business folks who took advantage of the summer break to turn it into a business industry and venture. Welcome back. You're listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. So as I mentioned before, people agreed that kids' brains need a break, and that includes me too. Well, these days, us kids are using that so-called summer break as a way to have summer slide. You're probably wondering, what is summer slide? Summer slide is basically a term referring to the situation when kids have learning loss over the summer. They forget techniques and topics from previous grades. You're probably also wondering why I picked this topic. I picked this topic today because as a navigator of the future, we talk about rising trends like AI. But it's equally important to address pitfalls, and summer slide is a big pitfall. Helping me explain summer slide today is Rekha Chaudhary from Calgary, Canada. You heard it right, folks. Our guests are truly from all around the world. Rekha has been teaching for the last 12 years. With that, let's take a short break. Stay tuned till the end of the episode, because we have a quiz at the end. And what good is a quiz without a prize? We'll be giving away a Google Home Mini. Welcome back. You're listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. Today we have a special guest joining us named Rekha Chaudhary.
Thank you, Nilay. Hi. As Nilay already introduced, my name is Rekha Chaudhary. I work for a private school in Calgary, Canada. I have been in this profession for the last 2 decades. Many teachers, including me, have witnessed students going through summer slide. And I am very happy, Nila, that you have chosen this topic. And I get to explain to your listeners more about the summer slide.
Well, I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad that you get to share your knowledge of summer slide with my audience. So what exactly is summer slide?
So Nile, summer slide, as you know, when you go to a park, you see a slide and the slide comes down. So literally, slide means coming down. So summer slide is the decline or the downfall of the academic skills, mostly in reading and math skills of students when they are not in school, they are not learning, when their brain is not engaged doing academic skills.
That's interesting. Now that I think about it, I think I've seen it firsthand. I experienced it too. I mean, I think a couple summers ago, I was not studying as much as I usually do over the summer, and I could feel it once I got back to school. I thought I was not prepared. I've seen it in other classmates as well. I'm not going to disclose the name, but I've seen classmates in general. They take, I mean, summer is supposed to, you're going to have fun, but you also should make sure, like, just like how you train your muscles, and you go and make sure your body is fit, to make sure your brain is fit. So you have to make sure you have those academic, let's say homework.
Yeah, exactly. So when the school stops during summer, your learning doesn't have to stop. Yeah. You should always try to do something to increase your learning.
Yeah.
At least maintain the learning that you already have or you received during the school year.
Because grades, I mean, once you go higher and higher in the grades, they don't get easier. And then especially because you have to start catching up. And then you start wasting time and you're always, there's a lag behind where you are. And it takes you, like, let's say 3 weeks to get back to speed. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. But those 3 weeks, they're starting to learn something else. So you're starting to fall behind your classmates, and that's never a good thing. So to our next question. Is there any way to prevent this huge pitfall of summer slide?
Well, Linda, yes. If there is a problem, there's always a solution to the problem. And to prevent a summer slide, it's a job. It's not only the job of a student that they are responsible for preventing themselves from getting into a summer slide. It is the job of a parent, it's a job of a teacher, and obviously the student. So all these three need to collaborate to make sure that a student, the child, or the student do not get into summer slide.
I'm glad to hear that. If I ever get in some summer slide, I can blame it on my parents or some teachers. I'm not saying you should, but I could.
Yes, you could. But at the end of the day, it's the student. And it's your responsibility because it's your learning, it's your future, right? So as a teacher, I would say that teachers play a very important role in the school for the students and as well as when they're out in the family, in the community. So I see, you know, every year when we start our school in September or last week of August, in Canada it starts in the last week of August, every teacher, I would say 95 to 96% of the teachers spend 4 to 6 weeks getting back, trying to get the students back to what they were at the end of the previous grade.
Yeah.
And that's a waste of those 6 weeks. 1 week, I understand, because you are in such a different mood when you come back to school. Your brain is not ready to grasp or not ready to focus for a long time. But 6 weeks, I believe, is a very long time. But we do end up doing that.
And it's so prominent. Like, there's not, when you think about it, school is not that long. And then there's always 3 months of summer break. And with so much, there's so many students that have such a big downfall compared to other students. And then teachers, even if they're only like a handful of students, teachers still have to spend that 4 to 6 weeks trying to get the students back in rhythm. And I've seen it myself. I've seen people, like, when I've seen people studying during summer slide, and they're going through, let's say, even, like, a fifth grade reading, and they're going through words they don't remember, even though they've learned it in sixth or seventh grade, or, like, the years before. They're forgetting topics or techniques. And then once you get into the higher grades, like seventh, eighth, or maybe even higher, when they start testing you at the beginning of the year, that can show a huge downfall. And that's never a good thing. And especially because it starts getting serious later in life.
True. Most of the summer slide or brain drain, that's what we call, it happens in between grade 3 to grade 8 because that's the time when you are learning new concepts. You are introduced to new terms, new words, new vocabulary, new stories, new reading, text and literature and new events in history that if you are out of touch for 2 months straight and you are not thinking about it, you'll forget it, because that's the time when your brain is developing and it's catching whatever it comes in front of it. So as a teacher, I would say that teachers should at least educate parents about summer slide and how to prevent it or how to help students from falling into that drains. Many parents are not aware. Like, at least I can tell for my school that many parents do not even know what to do. You ask them, you tell them, oh, I didn't know that I could do this.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there's a program going on in the community for summer for kids.
Yeah, and just, telling them about it, awaring them about it, that could help. And summer slide can be fixed, like, I'm not saying quickly, but, like, with a daily habit. If you just learn about summer slide and there's 2 weeks left of school, I mean, before school starts, then you start cramming, it won't help. Because it's like a memory. And once you start cramming it, and as long as you keep it a daily habit, then your brain will be ready for back to school.
Yes, you're right.
So you mentioned that the parent can help the student getting out of summer slide. Could you elaborate?
Yes, Nila. So a parent do not have to spend a lot of money putting students, their child in a summer camp or buying them expensive books or something like that. There are many programs that every single library does in the community. Summer programs, summer reading programs. You can take your child a few hours a day, even an hour, 45 minutes a day. So it's recommended that 20 minutes, reading 20 minutes every day would help you or prevent you from getting into that slide during the summer.
I've seen it before. I've seen graphs. I've seen, like, these students that just 20 minutes a day.
Hmm.
No, just 20 minutes a day of serious reading.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between a 90 percentile and a 50 percentile.
Yeah, meaningful conversations. Parents can have a meaningful conversation when their child is at home instead of letting them just play video games or watch a bunch of cartoon movies or serials or let them browse Netflix. Have a conversation. What's going around the world? What's happening? What's the new trend? That'll increase their vocabulary and their brain will get going thinking. Cooking, simply. When a mom is cooking or a dad is cooking, you can have your child help him. Bring me 5 potatoes. Bring me a cup of flour or something like that.
Yeah.
That would increase their knowledge. This is obviously for earlier grade, but for grades like kids like in 7, 8, and 9 or 6, 7, 8, 9, you can bake with them, cook with them. That'll give them an idea of how procedure works, instructional procedure work. It's fun and it's learning.
Just active educational activities. Like if you're, if you're not doing it seriously, and as a parent, if you just make sure you follow up and you make sure they're doing it seriously, you make sure you try to help them while they're learning so that they're just not going through and then they're ticking the box and they're going straight to their distractions.
Yes.
And so pulling away from their educational activities and just doing general activities like cooking, baking, like you said.
Yes.
Doing that would help and that would make sure that you'd stay maintained as a person and as making sure that you're doing community activities and you're making sure you're getting your education in.
Education at the same time, yes.
So as the books for summer slide, like for books to help kids fight summer slide, which books would you recommend and why?
Cindy, I don't want to name a book, but I would definitely recommend getting started on series books. So what happens is when you are reading a series books, for example, The Giver is a very good book for a grade 6 level student, and there is 3 books in the series. So when you read one and then you are at a cliffhanger, you want to know what happens next, and then you automatically would want to read the second book, the third book. Newbery Award winner books are a good book, are really good reads for students grade 6 to grade 9. Mm-hmm. Even grade 5, you can start in grade 5. Any book is a good book.
Yeah.
Any book is a good book.
I agree. So I definitely agree with the topic on making sure that you have those series books. That's an interesting statement right there. And I would say that's the right decision. And, like, I have a series in mind. It's called The False Prince.
Yes.
And that's a really good series. It's a nice and 350-page first book, and then they have 3 in the series. I read that book myself, and that can definitely help you fight Summer Slide, and that can keep you entertained. That's a really, really good book. And instead of, like, just doing small things, like not going on video games for 5 minutes, you can read for 5 minutes.
Even listening to audiobooks. When you listen to, you can listen to songs for hours, you can listen to an audiobook.
So do you have any personal experiences dealing with kids that have gone through Summer Slide?
So, Nilay, yes, every year, as I mentioned earlier, we see a lot of students. So out of 21 or 22 students in a class, 18 of them go through a Summer Slide. I still remember a child on top of my head, and I think I'm going to remember him for a long, long time. He was a very bright child, and the parents were also very much invested into the child, always trying to get help, ask the teachers what they can do next. And we always had something. He was always one grade above, up till grade 3. And when he comes back to grade 4, and he was a teacher's pet, every teacher loved him. Anything that they wanted to get done, they would ask that child to get it done because they knew that he would get it done the best way without messing it up. When he comes back in grade 4, in the last week of August, and, you know, as I said, what we spent 4 to 6 weeks just going over the previous grade, and we were going over the previous grade, no one had their hand up. And you know how we were thinking that, okay, even if no one knows this answer, he will know it, and we would pick on him. And he said, yeah, why don't you answer this question, or why don't you come up to the smart board and solve it? And to our astonishment, I would not say disappointment, because we were astonished and surprised to see that he had no clue. He had forgotten basic math skills. In grade 4, we teach multiplication and division in grade 3.
Yeah.
And in grade 4, he had forgotten it. And before the summer break, his parents wanted him to to get him prepared so he gets into a gifted school. And we all agreed with his parents that, yes, he needs it. And then we had a talk with her after a week or two when we saw him the same way. We had a talk with his parents. We called him and said that, what happened? Like, is everything okay from your end? Is the family good? Is there any trouble? Is there something somehow we can help? And we found out, no. During the summer, so for 6 weeks, they went to their native place in India where there was no internet. No access to books. All the time he was out in the fields, on the street with the children around playing, and there was no communication. So the mom was saying that out of 24 hours, she only got a chance to talk to her child for like maybe an hour and a half. So, and that's a perfect example that if you are not in touch with what you're doing all year round, no matter how smart, how sharp, how intelligent you are, you would fall into that slide.
That, wow. So any very bright kid who's getting ready for a gifted school or gifted program can have such a big downfall. They can turn into an average student. You can have hours and hours of studying, but only a couple of days without...
A couple of months
having distractions could just set you back so far.
So far behind.
So yes. Far behind, yeah. So thank you so much for joining us today, Rekha. I really appreciate this conversation, and I think it was very insightful. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra.
Thank you, Nilay.
Thank you so much. And with that, we'll take a short break. Coming up next is the quiz you all have been waiting for. Enjoy. You're listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. Welcome back. You're listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. So now the moment you've all been waiting for, the quiz. Taking the quiz is easy. It will be a series of 10 questions regarding the information on the other episodes. And the prize is a Google Home Mini. In order to be eligible for the prize, you have to be subscribed to my podcast, and you have to share this podcast with your friends and family. It's that easy. To send your answers, email me at nilay.mishra@gmail.com. nilay.mishra@gmail.com. or tweet me at my Twitter handle, Futurist Nilay. That's Futurist N-I-L-A-Y. Let's begin. Question 1. Who was my guest on my first episode, and why is that guest the most special person? Question 2. Which was the first search engine on internet? Hint, it's not Google. Question 3. Name one of the 5 gadgets I mentioned in episode 1. Question 4. What are some of the leading cloud companies I mentioned in question 2? Question 5. Where was the first smiley invented? What city? Question 6. In episode 2, where was my guest joining me from? Question 7. Who was my guest on episode 4? Question 8. In episode 4, I was talking about leukemia. What is leukemia? Question 9. In episode 5, I talked about artificial intelligence. When was artificial intelligence invented? Last but not least, question 10. I am a Mona Simpson brother, and I am very famous. Who am I? Here is how you respond to the quiz. Email me your answers by August 20th. My email is nilay.mishra@gmail.com. And please do not forget to subscribe to my podcast. That's all we have for this episode. Thank you for listening to Navigate the Future with Nilay Mishra. Your dear futurist signing off. Have a nice day.